Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio, and today we are going to be covering a scenario of what might likely happen after there's no more Palestinian Authority. History is going that way, folks. It's going to be a very, very interesting piece I'm going to be reading to you and discussing with you. Feel free to call in and weigh in on the issue if you have any comments or questions. Our phone numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. If you're listening through your phone, just open up your browser, go to israelnewstalkradio.com, and at the very top of the page, you're going to see our phone numbers where you can call in if you're listening live. That means if you're listening between 7 and 8 a.m. holy time right here in the land of Israel, or if it's between midnight to 1 a.m. U.S. Eastern time, that means that we are broadcasting live. All right. So what might likely happen after there's no more Palestinian Authority? Very, very interesting scenario that could very easily come true. Very, very interesting. I can't wait to share this with you. Also, before we go to our break, I want to share a big, big thanks to all of the listeners for donating and subscribing to the station in order to partner with us and support us. I want to thank, I'll just throw out a few names here, Mark, Motek, Bradley, Brenda, Susan, and several others. You will be getting emails from me personally with a big thank you. And I want to encourage the rest of you to also partner with Israel News Talk Radio. We need your support in order to continue and grow and give you even more news, more programming, and to really be there for you so you can call into our shows as well. And we just want to grow, and we need your support and help to do that. So we're asking for your support. Just go to our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com, scroll down just a bit, and click on the bright green donate button. You can choose how you want to partner with us there, and you will get a personal email from me as well. So go there, donate. Our donate button at Israel News Talk Radio. Thank you, and we'll be back just after the break with some really interesting news.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
What's the history of the Palestinian Authority? How was it born? The Palestinian Authority, and I'm reading from Wikipedia, was formed in 1994 pursuant to the Oslo Accords between the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, the PLO, a terror group, and the government of Israel as a five-year interim body. 1994 to 2019 is not 5 years. In any case, further negotiations were then meant to take place between the two parties regarding its final status. According to the Oslo Accords, the Palestinian Authority was designated to have exclusive control over both security-related and civilian issues in Palestinian urban areas, referred to as Area A, and only civilian control, not military, over Palestinian rural, I can't even say that, areas, Area B. The remainder of the territories included Israeli settlements, the Jordan Valley region, and bypass roads between Palestinian communities were to remain under Israeli control, which is Area C. And of course, Israel has to remain military control over these places because of saving lives. Otherwise, the terrorists would grow rampant. So that is a very short thing I just read to you from Wikipedia. Let's go into the Palestinian Authority, because it looks like it is going to be ending sometime soon? Question mark. The beginnings and the possible soon-to-be end of the Palestinian Authority, because Oslo is dead. And Oslo was the mother of the Palestinian Authority. The PA, the Palestinian Authority, the PA, was born out of terror and corruption, and it has stayed that way, with a leader that pays for terror, sucks off the teat of the international community, and has not agreed to go to democratic or any elections in a decade. So, what would a possible scenario be like? And before I go into this very interesting article, I just want to pull down something here that I have taped to the wall in front of my mic for so long, just to be able to use whenever I need to. But this was from Arut Sheva, and it's an article that talks about Mahmoud Abbas, and it says, Abbas says, I will continue, well, basically he's saying, I will continue terrorist payments. Let me just pull this down. I'm reading this from a paper that I printed so long ago. Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas reiterated his support for Arabs who were captured or killed while committing terrorist attacks against Israeli citizens. In an interview with Al-Quds Al-Arabi, Abbas stated that, quote, Israel incites the United States to see prisoners and martyrs as terrorists. They are soldiers and the sons of our nation, and they are the martyrs of the Palestinian people. And since then, 1965, we have provided them and their families with allowances. Israel and the United States says that this is supporting terrorism. I will not back down on the issue. The families of the martyrs, read martyrs as terrorists, will continue to receive their allowances in full, he added. In response to the question of whether the allowances will continue to be extended to prisoners in Israeli prisons, Abbas answered, certainly. Israel and the United States have pressed for the Palestinian Authority to halt its payments to terrorists for years on the grounds that the policy encourages Arabs to attack Israelis. The Palestinian Authority policy of paying higher salaries to terrorists serving longer sentences, means that the more heinous and deadly the terror attack, the more the terrorist is rewarded by the Palestinian Authority for committing murder. Let me remind you, these are not soldiers. They do not wear a uniform. They go and they murder pregnant women, little babies, men, women, children, without any discrepancy. They want to kill and maim as many as they can. These are terrorists completely. All right, let's go to this very interesting article that was, let me just find it here. And I have so many windows open on my computer, it's not funny. People see my computer and they just like wag their head. All right. This is from the BESA, the Begin Sadat Center for Strategic Studies. That's where this was published and what I'm reading from. It might have, may have been published in other places as well. It's written by a Jordanian writer called Abe Hack, and I hope to get him on the show. I sent him an invitation. I hope I'll hear back from him. He writes here, how will the cookie crumble? A post-PA or Palestinian Authority scenario. And this was written December 14, 2018, or it was published then, I should say. And he I'm just going to read some, I'm not going to read every single word here, but it's very interesting, the scenario he lays down. And again, I want to remind you all, if you have any comments or questions during the show, feel free to call in and weigh in on the issue. And he's writing here that if and when the Palestinian Authority collapses, he writes here, Jordan will bear the greatest brunt of the resulting humanitarian crisis. Such a collapse could be triggered by several factors, but will almost certainly lead to a mass exodus of Palestinians from areas A and B, while Israel will probably opt for a minimalist containment approach. The government in Amman, Jordan, will have to choose. It can either come to the aid of the Palestinians in the territories, or it can allow them to enter Jordan for help. I'm going to skip a little bit here and say the Palestinian Authority, or the PA, is on life support due largely to decades of political intransigence and systemic corruption. I'm not writing this, folks. I'm reading what a Jordanian man is writing. Israel, he writes, which it must be remembered, founded the PA, but this was founded actually with the Oslo Accords, is the doctor in the room wondering if and when it should pull the plug. The U.S. administration is gradually choking off aid in an effort to incentivize Mahmoud Abbas to return to the negotiating table, which he left a decade ago. In a display of obliviousness to his own predicament, Abbas has countered by purportedly demanding the replacement of America's chief envoy in the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, before talks can begin. So again, basically, Mahmoud Abbas is making demands. Let me return to the article. But there is a sense that the whole world, including the Palestinians in areas A and B, are now awaiting the PA's demise. Many believe the moment will come soon after Abbas's death. Let's remember, Abbas is older. He's not a well man. He could die. He was in the hospital this year once or twice. There were rumors that he had already died. He didn't. He survived. But how long does he have? Back to the article. However, with the possible exception of Israeli internal intelligence assessments, no one seems to have worked out likely scenarios of what would follow the collapse. And he writes here about fragmentation. While all polities suffer from some degree of disunity, the extreme levels of partisan antipathy and hostility within the PA are shocking, he writes. Not only do we have the seemingly unbridgeable chasm between Fatah and Hamas, but rivalries within the Fatah leadership and their armed manifestations on the ground. You have Dahlan, Barghouti, Rajoub. These are all people who are fighting for power in the Fatah. In the towns and villages of the West Bank, he writes, are clear to anyone who follows the scene there. If you're thinking mafia, you're right on target. There are entire neighborhoods in Nablus, for example, that take their orders directly from Gaza, even though the town is nominally under Ramallah's control. Outside these areas, certain streets are PFLP domains, while others are in the hands of men who have pledged allegiance to ISIS. The level of hostility among these factions is illustrated by the fact that all of them are more inclined to deal with the Israelis than with each other. Outside the cities, entire Arab villages openly support Hamas, while others back Fatah, and still others the PFLP. This support is on display in graffiti in the village squares. If you don't have access to the villages or to Israel's intelligence gathering abilities, the best way to guess who dominates which town is by chalking up how many terror acts claimed by Hamas or other groups are committed by individuals from a certain locale. If, for example, there are two more stabbings from the same village that are claimed by one terror group, you can safely deduce that the village belongs to that group. More when we get back. Don't go anywhere. And if you'd like to call in and weigh in on the issue, feel free to do so. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and I'm reading to you from a very, very interesting article that was published on the BESA, the Begin Sadat Center for Strategic Studies, and it's written by Abe Hack. It's called How Will the Cookie Crumble? A Post-PA Scenario. And if you have any comments or questions, you want to weigh in on the issue, feel free to do so. Our number is on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com at the top of the page. All right, so he writes here about disintegration. The moment the contest for Abbas's succession formally arrives, there will be instantaneous jockeying for position and turf consolidation, not only at party offices in Ramallah and Doha, but also in the streets of Jenin, Tulkarm, Nablus, etc., etc. Even without bloodshed, areas A and B will quickly lose the last semblance of cohesive administrative control. Immediately, several things are likely to happen, he writes. One, passage to Israel will become more difficult for residents and will at times stop completely. Two, movement within the Arab areas will slow down as the safety of those belonging to rival groups comes into doubt. All it would take would be one Palestinian Authority policeman getting beaten up by armed Hamas followers for traffic between the respective areas to stop. In other words, he's saying here that with all the faction groups and all the different terrorist groups vying for power, in order to assert their power, they may be stopping and trying to get rid of other members of other organizations. It will be dangerous to travel. As a result, he writes, supplies of goods like food and medicine, as well as the delivery of basic municipal services, will become highly unreliable and may cease completely. He's talking here about chaos, folks. Thus, within a very short time, and before any blood is spilled, the living conditions for many West Bank communities will deteriorate sharply. As is natural, those who can afford to leave will do so immediately, mostly to Jordan. The well-off, in the Palestinian Authority, will have houses and apartments waiting for them in Amman, while the less wealthy will have relatives to host them. Tens of thousands who can absorb the cost of interrupting their lives in the West Bank will head east in the hope of sitting out the crisis in the safety of the Hashemite Kingdom, which is Jordan. All this dislocation will happen before a single shot is fired, he writes. Thus, the best-case post-Arab scenario for the Palestinians of the West Bank will be an uneasy, crippling, and temporary stalemate that will drive the classes to run eastward for the river. I should say, will drive the property classes to run eastward for the river. Now he speaks about war. The mounting restrictions and tensions will render the initial stalemate unsustainable as critical supplies dwindle and living conditions worsen. The most desperate armed groups will begin taking risks by attacking those boxing them in. However, the violence that will inevitably erupt will not lead to a clear victory for any faction, as it did for Hamas in Gaza in 2006. Any victories will be local and limited. This is because areas A and B possess neither the territorial contiguity nor the binary politics of Gaza. Instead, one town will go to Hamas, and the next will remain with Fatah. In one neighborhood, the PFLP will stay dominant. In another, the ISIS loyalists will keep watch. Under such circumstances, those residents who haven't already left out of prudence will flee in desperation. Jordan will be faced with an influx that many quickly rise from the tens of thousands into the hundreds of thousands. In addition to the strain such an influx would place on Jordan's municipal services and on fuel and food prices in the kingdom, these refugees will be qualitatively different from the Iraqi, Syrian, and other refugees the kingdom has hosted in the past. They will be Jordanians. Jordan's dilemma, he writes. As I discussed in an earlier perspective, the lives of the Palestinians on both sides of the Jordan River are inextricably linked, both personally and institutionally. A majority of West Bank residents are Jordanian citizens. I'm going to stop here for a minute because I want this to sink into your heads. Many people think that the Arabs who are living in Israel and in the Palestinian Authority, I should say, are Israeli citizens, but they are not. Most of them have refused Israeli citizenship. They still hold on to their Jordanian passports. Remember, this land was liberated in 1967. These were former Jordanian citizens who are now in the Palestinian Authority. Let's remember that Jordan itself is made up by about 80% Arabs who identify as being Palestinian, and the other remaining 20 or 30%, there's a discrepancy, 70 or 80%, are from the Hashemite family. Remember, the Arabs are tribal peoples, and the Hashemite tribe or family is who is in power now. So he writes here, many carry valid Jordanian passports and receive salaries and retirement benefits from Amman. Amman is the capital of Jordan. Most have first and second degree relatives across the river. A sizable minority owns real estate on both banks of the river. In short, the lives of the Palestinian inhabitants on either side of the Jordan are as intertwined as the lives of Egyptians on both sides of the Nile, or of Americans on both sides of the Mississippi. Communities around the world are brought together by rivers, not separated by them, he writes. Those escaping post-collapse violence in the Palestinian Authority will technically be Jordanian citizens, escaping what were Jordanian towns and villages until June 1967. In fact, until King Hussein, under crushing political pressure from Arab governments, announced his, quote, disengagement from the West Bank in the late summer of 1988, virtually everyone in the world considered those towns and villages to be, de facto, occupied Jordanian territories. Because of this, the consequences of chaos in those territories will fall largely on Jordan, even though the areas themselves are under the joint control of Israel and the Palestinian Authority. He continues and says here that Israel may sit out the crisis. He says one can expect that Israel will immediately come under pressure to fill in both the security and administrative gaps left by the PA. That pressure will be balanced by Israel's justifiable fear that intervention of any kind will expose it to the charge of being complicit in the flight of Palestinian residents. Therefore, Israel's response is likely to be measured, incomplete, and insufficient to stop the situation from deteriorating further. I'm going to skip ahead here, and I want you all to go and read this article. I'm going to put a link to it on the page where the show is podcasted, so you can go and read it yourself. Very, very interesting. And he writes here, let me see, how much time do I have? 2 more minutes. Jordan ponders a response. With any variation of the scenario described above, Jordan will face a choice between passively and indefinitely hosting the hundreds of thousands of refugees escaping PA violence, or actively intervening to stop the deterioration of the security situation inside the territories and impede the exodus. To be sure, a Jordanian intervention will have opponents. There are powerful political forces within Jordan that will oppose getting mixed up in West Bank trouble, let alone reestablishing a political union with the West Bank Palestinians. The loyalist native tribes of the East Bank reasonably fear that their privileged position in society and government will be compromised to facilitate the full integration of West Bank Jordanians into a united policy. So basically, what we can see from this, folks, is that the Palestinian Authority has been a complete failure. It's probably going to die. And when it dies and when it dissolves, it's going to dissolve into several different terrorist entities. And in fact, Jordan itself, the Hashemite Kingdom, probably is not interested in absorbing any more Arabs that identify as Palestinians, because it is a hostile population to his reign, to his kingship there. Very, very interesting things here. I'll skip ahead. We're going to get to some of the aftermath when we get back from the break. Don't go anywhere. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to call in. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show. In the meantime, during the break, go to our donate button and donate towards Israel News Talk Radio. We'll be right back, everybody.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
So we are reading from a very interesting article. It is, let me find it again, my zillions of windows I have here up on my computer. And it is called, let's go back here. I really apologize, folks. During the break, I kind of switched over. It is called How Will the Cookie Crumble? A Post-PA scenario by Abe Hack. And it is, or maybe Hawk, in I should say, is was published on BESA, the Begin Sadat Center for Strategic Studies. I will leave a link on the webpage where this show is podcasted, so you can go and read the article yourself, and I encourage you to do it. It's a very, very interesting article that he wrote. And let's surmise now. We're going towards the end here, and he talks about the aftermath of the dissolving of the Palestinian Authority when Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas dies or something else happens. So let's look at this here. The aftermath. In the situation described above, some of the involved parties are likely to benefit from a Jordanian intervention. The Palestinian residents will welcome it because it will restore order and livable conditions. Israel will welcome it, he writes, because it will stabilize the general situation in PA areas and impose a more stringent security environment against acts of armed violence. For Amman, which is the capital of Jordan, in the short term at least, these developments will mean trouble and heightened risks. However, there are substantial medium and long-term benefits for Jordan. I just want to say here that it's interesting because if Jordan were to go in to the Palestinian Authority upon its crumbling, and if Israel allowed it to, which I don't think is a good idea, by the way, but it would be interesting because Jordan has a very bloody history with the Arabs who identify as Palestinians. There was called Black September when they went in and started killing thousands of Arabs who identify as Palestinians, and they would be ruthless. They would do much worse than Israel would do. Israel would be afraid to even think about doing what the Jordanians would do to the Arabs in the Palestinian Authority. So very interesting there, but let's continue here. He writes here, Israel, the United States, and some of the surrounding Arab states can do much to signal to Jordan their willingness to provide and protect those benefits, which include A, Jordan's temporary administrative custody of areas A and B would bring order and livable conditions back to the population and would stem and likely reverse the exodus of Palestinian residents. I'm going to stop there for a moment because I want to describe to you what would happen to Israel if Jordan came in and took power over the Palestinian Authority as well. It means that Jordanian forces, Jordanian troops would not be on the east side of the Jordan River, but they would now be over the Jordan River, right up against Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having a country filled with residents, filled with people living there who hate you? Because Jordan, let's remember, Jordan has an official peace treaty with Israel, but there are no Jordanian tourists here. Jordanians, on the whole, hate Israel because that's what they've been fed their whole lives and continue to be fed. There is an agreement between the governments, but the population of Jordan basically is not friendly with Israel. They don't tour here. They don't do business with us here, etc. So we would have this entity with their soldiers right on our, wouldn't be borders anymore. They would be right in the kishkas, right in the intestines, right in the belly of Israel. And this is unacceptable. They would be right near our international airport. And don't think that terror will stop once Jordan goes there. The terrorists would still want to assert their authority, would want to assert their strength, and they would still be trying to attack. So this is a situation that I don't believe would be a good one. Let's go on and see what he says here. Regional players, including the United States, will provide substantial financial, diplomatic, and military support for Jordan in its efforts to handle the crisis. Interesting that he writes this because it shows that the Palestinian Authority has been a failure in that a crisis will develop if its leader dies like that because of all the terrorists and the terror groups in the Palestinian Authority. He continues and writes here, a long-term reduction in the tension between Jordan and Israel will be achieved. This tension is a periodic scourge resulting from the confrontational approach of the PA towards Israel. Israeli-Jordanian cooperation is crucial for the kingdom's survival. For decades, the PA has played a corrosive role between the two governments. Its removal will place this vital relationship on a much surer footing. This is what the author writes. I don't know, but it's interesting to see his views here. Last but not least, Jordan cannot afford to yield the political affiliation or loyalty of a substantial part of its citizenry to a government in Ramallah. If, as some contend, a majority of Jordan's citizens self-identify as Palestinians, a Palestinian polity in the form of a fully fledged sovereign state, or even an autonomous region, will concretize a fatal division in the kingdom's makeup. And last, he writes here, timing. There are signs that we are rapidly heading towards such a scenario. Israel could forestall it, but has no long-term interest in sustaining this outsized source of insecurity and diplomatic headaches forever. I would add there, a place that is a sponsor and a place that harbors terrorists. Still, he writes, Jerusalem does have a clear interest in not appearing to cause the collapse of the PA. The PA's suicide could easily be portrayed by Israel's detractors as a politicide, so the Israeli government will do its best to be standing a safe distance away when the end comes, he writes. Other factors besides Abbas's death could trigger this cascade of events towards chaos. For example, a wholesale shutdown of UNRWA schools, for the United Nations schools, and services would almost certainly lead to an explosion of protests by the poorest Palestinian Authority residents. Now listen to this. This is very important what he writes. Also, a critical shortage of funds to pay the salaries of the PA's civil employees would quickly lead to a state of emergency, as this is one of Abbas's core loyal constituencies and the one that holds the threadbare Palestinian Authority together. You see, he's saying here that if the international community should cut off funds or somehow they don't get funding anymore or they can't support themselves, which they can't, again, they suck off the teat of the international community. He's saying that if these salaries are not paid, the authority could collapse. More critically, he writes, failure to pay the members of Abbas's six different security services could make the Palestinian Authority areas ungovernable, even under Abbas. These men will seek to support their families by working for whomever pays their wages. Lacking regular employment, they are likely to resort to freelance collection of protection money from the hapless residents of whatever territory is under their control. So in other words, they would become like the mafia, trying to squeeze money out of the residents themselves. But I'm thinking that Iran would come in with their money, pay these terror groups, and they would take control that way. In short, once the breakdown of law and order is in full swing, it will be very difficult to restore things to normal, and nearly impossible to prevent West Bank Palestinians from rushing en masse to points of safety. The proximity of Jordan and the demographic intimacy of the Palestinian communities on both banks of the river, the Jordan River, will make it the default destination for most of those escaping the violence. The government in Amman will have only two choices. He writes, it can provide for those people after they have crossed the river eastward, or it can, with Israel's blessing, cross the river westward to provide for them. It is difficult to imagine that it will choose the former, more difficult option. And again, I don't think it's a good idea at all for Jordan to come into the to come west of the river into Israel, into the belly of Israel. Absolutely not. It's not a good idea. But I think it's an amazing and interesting, fascinating article that Abe Hawk wrote. It says he's a Jordan-born ATA-certified translator and educator. He worked as a research assistant in the Facility Research Service at the Harvard Law School and as an assistant professor at Senzoku University in Japan. Abe teaches in the German and Arabic translation programs at New York University. Very interesting fellow. I hope to get him on the show. Very interesting article he wrote, and I urge you all to go and read it because it's hard to listen. It's much better to read, and so I urge you to go and read that article. So, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to write me, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And support Israel News Talk Radio. Plus, press that green donate button on our homepage.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.